Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started. Well, welcome, Lori, to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. We're so excited to have you join us. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's going to be so fun. I hear that you're engaged, helping people and guiding people that are struggling with Lyme, through a lot of the Facebook communities and setting up your new center. And so I'd love to kind of towards the end then get into that a little bit more in regards to resources that people have and, who they can connect with and where they can go for testing, for treatments, for communication, for networking, for all of these different things. I'm really excited about that component.
Excellent. Yes, I'm happy to share.
So what got you into this space? I mean, obviously there's a story, and people don't just wake up and say, "Oh, I think I should be in the admin of a Lyme group," right? No,
we don't come volunteering. It's something that I just kind of found myself in the middle of it as a patient. I didn't know where to start. So finding information in Facebook groups was a real godsend to me. I had never heard the word Lyme disease, let alone any of the co-infections. I grew up in the country, four houses down from a veterinarian, around animals my whole life. And we knew what ticks were. You'd pull them off your dog or your cat, or in my case, horses and cows. But never in my entire childhood did I ever hear that a tick bite was potentially an infection that could cause a problem for a human. Never. Yep. That was news.
And I don't think you're alone in that.
No.
When I found out that I had Lyme, I thought, really? I thought that was just something a dog could get. I remember having dogs growing up, and we'd have to go get them like a shot to prevent fleas and ticks and Lyme and all of that stuff. I'm like, do I have like an animal disease, or is that like a human disease? Because honestly, I didn't know.
Fair question.
Yeah,
fair
and question. So many people don't. And so, that's just another reason we do one of these podcasts, is because just to spread that awareness. Had I had any knowledge when I got that bullseye rash, I would have known. And I got the bullseye rash, and I didn't know. And 13 years, miserable years later, it was all okay. But, so just the more knowledge we have, the more power we have. So,
and a lot of people don't even get the bullseye rash.
No, they don't. Yeah, so I got it all, and I still didn't know what it meant.
No. So where did your journey start? I mean, what happened?
Well, in 2010, I pulled two ticks off of me and didn't really think a lot about it, but happened to have an appointment with my primary care just about 2 weeks later. And I mentioned it to her, and she totally, that's just not a problem here. I was in Virginia at the time. And I'm like, I thought I should bring it up because, I've asked around and, I didn't know anything about it. But I asked some people about it, and they were like, you need to get that checked out. So she was quizzing me. Well, did you have a bullseye rash? I'm like, I don't even know what that is. And I said, well, actually, she's like, you probably didn't get one then. And I'm like, well, don't be so quick to judge that, because, the ticks crawled up my legs under my shorts and were in my like underwear line. So I didn't know to even look to try to decipher whether I had any sort of rash or not. I just knew that I felt them there. I pulled them out, flushed them down the toilet, and didn't think about it again until I mentioned it to, I think it was my chiropractor, and he was like, maybe you should talk to your doctor about that. So I did, and then she completely blew me off and just, oh, it's not a problem. You didn't, you know, and so on and on, 3 months later, I had another checkup with her and said, you know, I just haven't been feeling well since the last time I was here. Could this be related to those tick bites? No, 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 can't be that. You didn't have a bull's nose rash. And I was like, well, that's not true. I don't know if I had a bullseye rash. So then another 3 months go by. So this is 6 months after the bite. And now I've had to stop horseback riding. I've had to drag myself out of bed. I can barely take my dogs for a walk around the block. And I'm telling her, look, I can't function. You have to test me. I'm not leaving here until you test me. And she again, oh no, it can't be that. That's not the problem. You're just depressed. You just need another antidepressant. And I'm like, look, I'm not leaving here until you test me. And I can be either really quiet about it or I can get really loud about it. So it's your choice. So she kind of rolled her eyes and she tested me and called me a week later. She's like, so your test came back positive. And I'm like, yeah, I told you I haven't been feeling well. And she's like, well, I'm very shocked, actually. I'm like, yeah, I can tell. I'm like, so what do we do now? And not realizing that if she didn't have the answer for me the first time, like, what answer was she going to give me now? And her answer was a typical, oh, all you need is 30 days of doxycycline and you'll be like, it never even happened. Well, that didn't happen.
Apparently she, you know, one, I mean, if she said all you need is this, mm-hmm. and then it'd be like new. If she didn't know really what it was and how, what the symptoms were to start with, how would you know that you would be like, it never happened? Because she apparently hadn't really treated anyone with it.
I doubt that she had. And if she had done the 30 days of doxy and some people had symptoms resolve or they just went somewhere else because they didn't resolve, which was my case. I just feel like she was in a super endemic area and she probably led a lot of people like myself down the wrong path and into, instead of addressing it early on at the time of the bite, she let us go to a critical stage where now this is a chronic issue for the rest of my life.
Yeah, because if you would have treated it when you came to her the first time after 2 weeks saying, is this an issue? Then, I mean, the success rate would have been so much higher at that time. Because now you dealt with acute Lyme. Now you're dealing with chronic Lyme. And chronic Lyme is tough.
It is tough. And then, you know, and then in learning more about how the disease progresses and what kind of symptoms, you know, the hundreds of symptoms you can have. I really think that I was first infected when I was in college at 20 years old. I was a counselor at a sleepaway camp in the Catskills in New York. And again, I don't remember a tick bite, but I was certainly bitten by probably 1,000 mosquitoes and every other creepy crawly out in the woods, you know, we're there for the whole summer. And, you know, I came down with just the worst headache in the world and ended up in the emergency room. And after a bunch of tests, they told me I had viral meningitis. It was no big deal. It was like having mono. Here's some Tylenol. After 3 days in the hospital, just you're on your way. You'll be fine in a few months. And it took a long time to recover from that. And I was never quite right after that. I regained most of my strength and stamina, but it took a long time to get there. And so that was when I was 20. And then I had my son at 25. And little by little, other things started popping up. And now, knowing what I know, it's like, oh, you know what? I think that's probably the initial time that I was infected, and probably it was Lyme only at that point. And then when I was bitten in 2010 is when I think the Babesia, the Bartonella, the Ehrlichia, all the other things sort of piled on in those subsequent bites. And I just couldn't come back from it. For it took me 4 years after those bites to find a Lyme doctor that knew what was going on. And by that time I was housebound, bedbound. I only left my house to go to doctor appointments, and that was it.
Wow. Yeah. I'm still mad at your first doctor.
Yeah.
Sorry. It makes me so mad, and I'm so happy for you that you stood up to her and insisted on that Lyme test. But for so many people out there, they don't even know to ask for a Lyme test when they're sick.
No.
So that's the sad and scary part.
Or if the doctor gives them a Lyme test, it's through Quest or LabCorp, and it's an ELISA with a reflex, yeah. Right? Back negative, and the patient's told you don't have Lyme, take that off your list of, you know, possibilities. That's not your problem.
Yeah,
and they never come back to it.
That's very true. I got tested 3 times and it was negative mm-hmm. all 3 times.
Wow.
But when I went to Igenics, the well-known lab to use, it was lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I was probably in the minority in that test that she did for me was a CDC positive test. It was clearly positive. And aside from the 30 days of doxy, she had nothing to offer me and then spent the next 4 years basically farming me out to specialist after specialist to get special tests done. And I walked into every one of those appointments with that test and said, look, I've got this CDC positive Lyme test. Could any of the things that I'm complaining about be related to Lyme? And one after one told me, absolutely not. You took 30 days of antibiotics. That is not your problem. To the point where the last doctor I went to was a neuropsychologist. I had to wait 3 months to get on his calendar. And when I left the appointment, he told me, Lori, you don't have Lyme. I'm pretty sure you have a brain tumor. And so that's what we need to look at. And so I went home that day from that appointment to tell my husband, he thinks I have a brain tumor. You know, I was 53 at the time. I'm like, this is whatever's happening. Like this is not normal. I could not function. I didn't have a tumor.
So I'm curious, what are some of the diseases? I mean, you have brain tumors. So what are some of the diagnoses? She sent you in all these different directions for 4 years. I mean, how many different diseases, how many different diagnoses did you have, and what were they? Just out of curiosity.
They suggested that I might have MS. They suggested that it was psychosomatic. They didn't only suggest that, they actually wrote that in the notes. Once I got my file later, I went back and I was like, oh, how interesting. Yeah, it was all in my mind.
She's a doctor seeker. Yeah, she's a medication seeker. Yeah.
I need attention. I'm a drug seeker. And I'm like, but the only drugs you're giving me are antidepressants. Like how they're not fun. I'm like, why would anyone seek those out? The brain tumor, of course, and depression. That was kind of their basket. Like at one point they had me on 3 different antidepressants at the same time, at least 2 different sleep medications at the same time, and for the daytime, narcolepsy medications. I couldn't.
Geez, with that alone, I'd be depressed.
Right? And they kept telling them, I'm not depressed. I'm sick. I'm telling you, I'm sick. Like, I know what sick and not sick feels like. I am sick. I need you to help me figure this out. And they were just like, nope. And if they went back and looked at any of the prior medications that I was on or got records from a previous doctor, you know, it all kind of kept consistently saying the same thing, you know, patient, like at one point I had hemorrhoids, I couldn't go to the bathroom for days on end. And I had a doctor like actually spend 15 minutes with me explaining to a 50-year-old woman how to go number two. Like I hadn't figured that out yet. Like I was too uptight. I needed to relax. And he gave me he's like, here's some breathing techniques that you can work on. I'm like, dude, I know how to go to the bathroom.
Did he do any show and tell, or I mean, what?
The GI doctor just gave me 6 bottles of Miralax that she had as samples, and she's like, here, all you need is this. I'm like, do you think I haven't tried that? I'm not a dumb person.
These doctors, they're everywhere. They really are. But I have to know, what state are you in?
That was in Virginia.
In Virginia.
So like
right outside of Lyme.
So that's a place that you never want to move to. Don't ever move to Virginia if you might have Lyme disease, because they're just going to teach you how to use a squatty potty to go to the bathroom.
Exactly. Right. Like, wow. I did not need those lessons. That was a lecture I wasn't up for. And here I am just trying. I'm like at the point where I'm ready to stop eating because I can't go to the bathroom. Yeah. And now they're like looping. Oh, does she have an eating disorder? Is she? I'm just like, you're reading way too much into this, people. It's really simple. There's something going on with me that I can't figure out, and I need your help. And they did not want to hear that.
Wow. And the thing is, I mean, when they can't figure anything out, they always go to antidepressant, anxiety, they always go there. So it's important for people to recognize that pattern. And then obviously with the medication that you are on, it's a big likelihood that they cause the constipation, but they're not willing to go there. So, and then it escalated from depression to brain tumor. That's a logical next step.
Exactly. Very high correlation.
Exactly.
So we've got to move past this, because I am just, it should not shock me, but I'm just blown away. I'm just blown away at the dismissiveness of all of these doctors with you. And you have a Lyme test in your hand. Mind blown.
Yes.
Okay, so tell me how you found treatment, how you seeked out the good people to help you. Did you do it on your own?
I didn't know that I was looking for a Lyme doctor, because they had convinced me that Lyme was not the problem. I found out from my chiropractor that a doctor right down the street from me, 2 miles from my house, was opening a hyperbaric chamber. And he's like, Lori, I really think you need to get in that. I don't know anything about the practice, really. I just know that this is new. It's right in your backyard. See if you can get in. So I literally called the next day and I said, I understand you guys have a hyperbaric chamber now that you've just opened. And what do I need to do to get in it? And she says, well, you'd have to meet with the doctor. I'm like, okay, well, the doctor doesn't take insurance. It's $750 for the first appointment to meet the doctor. I'm like, okay, then what? And she's like, well, he's really a Lyme specialist. And I said, oh, really? Well, that's actually really good news, because I have this Lyme test that no one seems to know what to do anything, know what to do with it. And they're telling me that it's not a problem, even though it's a positive test. So I'll bring that. I'll bring whatever you need me to bring. I need to figure out what I need to do to get into the hyperbaric chamber. So I went, I took all the test results that I had, and I met with the doctor. And I was there with her for 2.5 hours. And she was like, Lori, not only do you have Lyme, but you have this, 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 and this, and we need to address that. And here's how we're going to do that. And I had also been scared to death by people about taking antibiotics. The very first thing I said to her after hello was, I'm not taking antibiotics. And she's like, okay, no problem. You don't want to take antibiotics? That's no problem. And by the end of the 2.5 hours, I said, I'm not leaving here without antibiotics. She was like, I'm like, finally, I'm talking to somebody that has convinced me that they know what they're talking about and they know what they're looking at and how to help me. I almost had to crawl on my hands and knees back to my vehicle after leaving there because I was so wiped out. But I was like, at least I feel like I'm in the right place. And that's how I started.
Wow. So yeah, and we can tell when we are communicating with a doctor or a naturopath or whatever it may be, we can tell if they believe us. I mean, you can, and if you can't, then maybe that's not the right doctor for you, but you can tell.
Right.
You
can feel that.
You absolutely can feel it. So I think it's important that you find a doctor that you can really connect with and resonate with and believe, because unfortunately you're going to see them a lot, you know, over the next period of time. So
Exactly. I hear from patients all the time complaining that, you know, their doctors don't believe their test results. They don't believe in Lyme. It's like, it's not a religion. It's not a belief system. It's an infection. It's like, it's real. If a doctor tells you they don't believe in Lyme, you're in the wrong place.
Yes.
Get up and leave.
Absolutely.
And don't look back. Unfortunately, a lot of people are in the situation where they have to use insurance, and those doctors that they're seeing that are covered by their plans do not understand this illness and do not understand how to treat it. And unfortunately treat those patients the same way I was treated, with the eye rolls and the dismissiveness, and basically just told, you're just going to have to learn to deal with it because this is as good as it gets. And that's just an unacceptable answer.
And it's important to understand also, those doctors, they are so afraid to lose their privileges or their rights. That the insurance company is going to go after them for insurance fraud. And so for them then to diagnose Lyme and then accept insurance in that process is going to put their whole practice at risk. And they recognize that. And they don't want to even approach that line in any shape or form. So for the Lyme patients out there, you got to pay out of pocket pretty much. I mean, that's just how, and it's a fortune.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I've seen people lose their homes, their jobs, and they lose their insurance. I've seen women lose their children. Certainly marriages fall apart, my own included. People don't know how to deal with a chronically ill person that is fighting against the system to get treatment, and because we just want to get better. We don't want anything different than anyone else with any other illness. We just want to be better. And here we are paying, you know, money, good money, for supposedly a good insurance policy, and it doesn't cover anything. My husband was upset about that. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do about it. I don't have control over what the insurance company covers and doesn't cover, and it's really unfortunate that I have this illness that, because of the name of it, it's not covered. I don't know what you want me to do other than either choose between getting better or not getting better. Like, those are my choices, and all I could do is ask him, like, if you were the one that was sick, how would we handle it? Like, would we just be saying, oh well, the insurance doesn't cover it, so you don't get treatment? Like, I don't think that's a reasonable expectation. I'm like, so why wouldn't we pay for my treatment to get me better? And so that was a constant source of conflict, unfortunately. Fortunately, he had a very good job, and I could pay out of pocket. I was able to pay and do treatment long enough that I did get into remission. But it was a year and a half of work. And in that first year, probably somewhere around $40,000 out of my pocket, to pay for all the treatments that I did.
Yeah.
It's not a small amount of money.
And I don't think we've touched about the impact on relationships before that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that, and that huge. that is a huge thing. And that's so tell me a little bit. I mean, so you have that conflict, and what are some other things kind of going on? And you probably in the Facebook groups that you're in, I'm sure there are people that you talk to in regards to this as well.
Yeah.
So what are some struggles that you have seen so people can understand, you know, yes, this is going on in my life as well, and they can relate to it?
Well, certainly, you know, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, children, parents, any relationship is potentially a strained relationship. I mean, my family did not want to hear, like after about a month of, you know, I don't feel good. I'm going doctor to doctor. And this was before I found a Lyme doctor. They didn't want to hear about it. They thought I was complaining. You know, I was just always complaining. And I'm like, no, I'm frustrated. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. And you're calling me or writing to me because, you know, it's Thanksgiving and you want to have Thanksgiving here in town and you want people to stay in my house. And I'm like, I'm trying to explain to you, I just can't do it. So I was somehow I was screwing up the holidays for the whole family because I couldn't get my act together. And it's like, it's not a volunteering thing. I can't do it. I physically can't do it. And they just couldn't get it. They didn't see me every day. They, other than my brother who lived 5 minutes from me. And so that particular Thanksgiving, everything was supposed to be at his house, but people coming in from out of state were going to be staying at my house. And I was just like, I'm sorry, but I literally cannot do it. Like the idea of changing sheets on a bed or, you know, taking stuff off a bed in a guest room to just make room for them or grocery shopping to make sure that there's food in the house that's not, you know, Jell-O. I couldn't manage it. And they just thought I was being, I mean, I heard everything from in my whole family from, you're just lazy, you don't want to work, you're just a baby, you just want attention. I heard it all. And I'm like, I'm none of those things. I'm sick. Like, if I told you that I had cancer, would we be even having this conversation? No, you would be having fundraisers for me down at the local, you know, VFW or, you know, spaghetti dinner fundraisers. And you would be calling me every week and asking me if there was anything that you could do for me. I get none of that. I have to clean my own house. And when I couldn't do it, it just went uncleaned. That was the you know, how that went. There was a point that my house was not cleaned in 6 months. And That's not me, but I just couldn't do it. And my husband wasn't much help there. So I'm like, okay, you know, stuff's going to be dirty. I'm just going to have to get over it because that's just not my priority right now. My priority is getting myself well and making sure that I eat and make sure that I try to sleep and get to my doctor's appointments. That was the only thing I could manage.
No,
So it's very, very hard on relationships.
Yeah, and going through Lyme and treating Lyme, it literally is like a full-time job. 100%. What we have to go through and to get the rest that we need and to, you know, the long list of things that we have to do.
And it
is a full-time job. I mean, there's, and I know people that have worked through it and they have kids through it. And I'm like, I was single and I don't know how you did that. But
I don't know how the people who are trying, they're still working, they've got children at home. And so I'm very careful with those people, you know, when they ask me for suggestions, because I don't want to give them any suggestions that are going to flatten them and not allow them to continue working, or to be able to be awake enough to, make sure their children aren't jumping out of windows or setting each other on fire. Right. That's a really important aspect. I was home with three dogs and a cat basically throughout the day. And my only goal was to make sure that I got them outside to go to the bathroom on a regular basis. And the rest of the time I was either in bed, I was detoxing, or, just watching TV. That I recorded so many shows, I can't remember a single one of them. Movies, I'd watch them. I couldn't begin to tell you what a particular movie was. So then when I watch it a year or two later, it's all like a surprise. Oh, I don't know what happens, even though
it's like the 51st dates,
Yeah, exactly. So it really is, it's kind of you're in a time warp. For me, it certainly was like I couldn't really register time movement. Like I know what year I started treatment, and I know kind of when I got through the worst of it. But I don't really have any recollection of time during that period. I have to really sit and think about what was happening, because when you spend 22 hours a day in bed, and a lot of that either sleeping or semi-sleeping, like your brain's not making memories. Even though recalling anything is difficult, but you're not even making a memory to recall later. So it's like I kind of lost. I feel like I lost like 10 years because I have to really sit and think about, well, what year was that? Where was I living? What was I doing at the time for me to get a handle on the frame of time that was that moment? Holidays don't stick out. Anniversaries, birthdays, it's all just like one big long nothing. And I had a lot of neurological issues. I couldn't talk very well. I would lose my voice after about 5 minutes of talking. So I just stopped talking. And then when I did talk, I couldn't talk in like a whole sentence. I would have these long pauses, and I almost felt like I was stuttering, and I could hear it, but I couldn't control it. I would get lost driving just around my neighborhood, going to the grocery store a mile from my house. And I'd be sitting in traffic going, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I was headed. And I would just kind of just drive around the neighborhood until something, I'm like, well, if nothing, I'll drive around. And if nothing comes to me, I'll just go home. And I'll figure it out later where I was headed. And that, I think, that happening again in my early 50s, like I felt like I was 92, and it was really scary to sit at a stop sign and not know whether I'm supposed to turn right or left. That freaked me out. That's a scary moment.
Yeah. I used to drive past the courthouse I worked at for 17 years and end up in another town. And I would call my mom in Oregon and tell her I didn't know where I was and I didn't know where I was going. And she always asked me, because sometimes I worked in the office, sometimes I had to go to court. She'd always ask me what I was wearing. So if it sounded more like if it was a court outfit versus just a daily office job outfit, that's right, how she would know where I was supposed to go. And it is scary. It is very scary. And it's hard for people to grasp that one day you can be like that, but then the next day you might be fine.
Might be fine.
You might know who you are. You might, a totally different than how you are. So, I can absolutely relate to how you felt. It's very, very scary.
Very scary. It's like, this is what it's like to have dementia. Like, this is what it's like to not have a memory. Like, it's unsettling to your very core, because you realize like your brain and your memories are it. Like this is you. You can lose an arm, you can lose a leg, but if you lose your brain and your ability to think clearly, you're not you anymore.
Yeah, you're just a shell of a person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And Lyme really just changes who you are.
Anyways, it really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. It makes you, I think it makes you more you once, as you work through it and you kind of figure out what, like you have to really figure out that A, you're sick and that you're not going to get better doing nothing. You're right. Just not.
No.
And it takes work. It's not, hey, take this pill, do a sauna, get a colonic. No, it's really hard work. It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yep. I will second that. And I've done a lot, but that's the hardest.
I've been through stuff. Right.
Last year I went through breast cancer and I had to go through, you know, surgery, a little bit of radiation. And it just, I mean, I was up cleaning house 3-4 hours after my surgery. My mom's like, Tanya, you just had surgery. You can't do that. It just, cancer had nothing on me because I've been through Lyme. Like just nothing compares to it that I've ever been through. It just doesn't. It's the most horrific disease I've ever heard of. And to have doctors that don't believe me, to have the government think that it's not a real thing, like it literally eats away at my stomach and my gut. It just kills me.
Yes. I mean, really, once you've been through this, it's hard to scare people. It's like, you really can't scare me. It would take it takes a lot to scare me because like I've survived this.
Yes.
I've been through this whirlwind and I've more than on one occasion did I think like, this is it. Like I'm going to die. Like this is, I'm not going to get through this. As hard as I'm trying and as much as I'm doing to try to reverse what's happening, there were times where I really just didn't think I was going to make it. And that's a whole sobering, you know, conversation that you have with yourself in and of itself. So, and again, you know, I mean, I'm 60 now, but this was happening, you know, in my early 50s. And it's like, I'm not ready to have this conversation, right. But here I am. I'm having this conversation because like I've never been in a situation where so much was stacked against me and I was the only one that could get me out of it. You know, yes, the doctors help and guide, but I had to do the stuff. You have to do the stuff. And it's not easy. It's not fun. And it's not cheap, but you have to do it. It's just,
and it's possible. I mean, we're living proof that it's possible to get better.
Absolutely.
You
yes. Just,
you have to do the work. You have to be all in. You have to, you know, the last couple of podcasts we had the guests on there were talking about how important mindset was. And they said a lot of the same thing. And I agree, we both agree that mindset plays a huge role in it. So you've got to know that you're going to get better. You've got to know you have to put in the work. It's not going to be an easy journey, but the journey, you're going to learn so much on that journey. Some of my best friends I have are Lyme people that I met on my journey. There's going to be a lot of good, a lot of bad, but you can get better and you can get on the other side of this and create new, great, amazing memories that you can actually remember.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That is absolutely true. And it, as hard as it is at the time, and because one of the symptoms is that you're not thinking clearly, you're not thinking things through rationally, your emotions are raw. It's easy to get sidetracked into anger and frustration and oh, woe is me. Like I've gone through all of those things, and then there were times when I really literally just like didn't know how I was going to get to the next minute. So I would sit and count to myself, 1 to 60. Okay, that's 1 minute. Laura, you did 1 minute. Like, do another 60 and just count 1, 2, 3.
That's literally, you know, when people say take it day by day or take it hour by hour. I mean, that literally
is literally second by second.
Second by second.
I'm so sorry.
It just is not, it's not a fair journey. It's not an easy journey. It's just not, you know.
But, no, there's nothing fair about it.
But we do this podcast to help our listeners understand that there are people out there that have been exactly where you are right now.
Yes.
Maybe even worse. You might not be the worst of the worst out there.
That's right.
You have to stay hyper-vigilant, hyper-focused on the fact that you can get better and that you will get better, and lean on those people who will be there to support you, you know? And sometimes it's not your friends or family. Sometimes it's the community and the Lyme community that you're going to get the most support from. But it's out there. Reach out if you need help. The Lyme community is such an amazing community. I've never met a group of people like it before. And they're there to help you and pick you up when you fall. And you can have that bad day and you can cry and woe is me and all of that. But then the next day, put them pants back on and get up and get out there and do it.
That's right. Sometimes you just need a little sleep and then, you know, you can take another step, right? Yep. I mean, you're right. And part of it for me was just coming to the conclusion that, okay, I'm not going to be able to rely on my family and my husband for emotional support. Then I need to figure out where I'm going to get it. And like you, you know, I've made friendships with people that I've never met and probably never will meet. But they know more about me than in this journey than anyone in my family, you know, because my family's just not interested. But these people are, and they've seen me go through it and they've seen me come out the other side. So if that's inspirational for others, fantastic. If somebody needs somebody to talk to, call me, text me, message me in Facebook. I will respond to you because sometimes that's all you need. It's just that one connection to know that you're not losing your mind and that trying to get better is still the right thing to do.
And you know how important it is when you're in that moment to have somebody that responds and that's with you and that's walk you through. Yeah. And count the seconds with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. It's not pretty.
No.
It doesn't need to be. You just knowing that there's another human being that's sitting there with you, just holding space for you in that moment, that makes all the difference.
It sure does. Yeah.
So this journey is like 10 years. You've dealt with, you were, you know, shot in all different directions, you know, up till the brain tumor event, you know, that took about 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you met this doctor that you begged to get antibiotics from. Please give me antibiotics. So tell me what the journey, I mean, this was hard work. So what was it that you did to get through this, you know, day by day, every moment? I mean, what did you do to get through this? I mean, yes, you did pills. Yes, you did hyperbaric probably. But what was it that got you through?
I mean, the one tool that I used day in and day out was a spreadsheet just of what I was supposed to do next. Cause I couldn't remember what I did 5 minutes ago. So it's like, oh, did I take that already? What was that a detox thing? Did I take my antibiotics? Did I take my supplements? I couldn't function without the spreadsheet. And then as I took or did the thing, a detox thing or taking a supplement, I would check it off and then go back either to bed or the couch, wherever I was hanging at the moment. And then, you know, a half an hour later, I could go back out and look at the spreadsheet again, and it would tell me exactly what I needed to do next. Because I knew where the check marks were. Right. And so it did take some energy to create that. But it also helped me understand what the doctor was asking me to do, to see it all laid out like that in writing. And I did it, each spreadsheet was for 1 week, basically 1 week, every day of the week and everything I was supposed to do in that day. And I kept them for a long time, thinking that I would, you know, put them in a book or something at some point, but I was like, you know what? I can't, it's hard to even look at them because I can see my writing is messed up. It doesn't look like my writing. And you know, I can see, you know, spills and think, cause it would sit on the counter for a week at a time. And, you know, I'd spill tinctures on it or whatever I was eating or drinking at the time. It actually became like, I don't want to look at this stuff anymore. But just having that so that I had a routine was the biggest help, because I couldn't possibly do it on my own to know. And that's what I see a lot of people making that mistake. I'd be like, okay, so are you taking a binder every day? Well, sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. Or, you know, same with supplements. It's like, no, this is an everyday thing. Like this is your job, is to know that you need to take these things, why you're taking them, and when you need to take them. And it's a lot to ask for somebody whose brain's not working. So if you need help with that, ask somebody to help you with it. I was able to at least get it on paper so that I could follow it. But I didn't have anybody else that could help remind me to do a thing that I was supposed to do, including eating. Like I had to like make myself eat because I had no appetite. So it was part of my schedule, like eat breakfast, eat lunch. That was really the only way I could have gotten through it, because I did not have the mental capacity to create a discipline where I knew what I was doing when and do it at the right times.
And that's huge for people to understand that. I mean, it is that initial effort to create structure, but if you can't do it on your own, then to reach out to the practitioner or front staff of the practitioner. Yes. or somebody there to, and let them know that I need help to create some kind of a sheet or something that I can. Yes. Follow, and then maybe have an alarm clock that goes off every 30 minutes or whatever it is that you need, so that you have. Yep. Cues, you know, that will guide you to what you need to do, because you need to be able to get through that initial phase, like in that phase when you don't have the power, the ability to kind of reason or to have the energy to go and do things, or sometimes you don't have the energy to ask for things either. So
that's right.
So you're doing that, and did you start to feel an effect from the from the different things you're doing, the antibiotics and the different supplements and tinctures and hyperbaric? I mean, did. Yes. You start to feel that you were gaining ground?
Well, I mean, initially I felt I was going backwards, because I started doing the hyperbaric chamber and antibiotics right from the get-go, and basically Herx for 3 months straight while I got through 40 sessions of the hyperbaric chamber. About a month after I stopped that is when I started to feel like, okay, I'm making progress. I don't feel awful 22 hours a day. It's only maybe 18 now. I gained a couple of hours, you know, and I'll take it. Yeah. You know, you have to celebrate the little wins. And then, you know, okay, I was able to take my dogs for a walk around the block. I couldn't do that before. I couldn't walk to the end of my driveway and get the mail. So walking now around the block, that's a big achievement as far as I'm concerned, right? Being outside in the sun at all, not even necessarily that it was hot. But just the sun on my skin, I would just melt like butter. I would feel so awful. And like, oh, I'm going to pass out any second here. So watching, you know, that, you know, is it too sunny? Do I need to cover myself up? Do I need to sit in the shade? Just anything to get outside of my house, but not put me in a situation where I'm going to feel even worse. And gradually over time, you know, the better got better and the worse got less. But it was, you know, I mean, I was on antibiotics for 14 months. And by the time, you know, I was coming to the end of that and switching over, I had added in several herbs at that point. And then after the antibiotics, I did a year of herbs for maintenance. I mean, the difference in the quality of my life at that point was night and day. I mean, I could actually, you know, drive to my friend's house and not feel like I was going to get lost. And, you know, I'm a horse rider, right? So I would go and didn't necessarily go and ride, but I could at least go to the barn and brush a horse and watch her and take videos and enjoy the day without, you know, spending the day in bed. It was, you know, just a complete turnaround from having been in bed for almost 2 years solid, than to be able to get out and do the things that were more normal for me. I mean, I still, even at this point, don't have 100% of, you know, my health back, but I can function. I can work. I can't work a 40-hour job, you know, 5 days a week, but I can get stuff done. And when I have good days, I get a lot done. When I have less than good days, I do what I can and I just don't worry about it. It's like, I can only do what I can do.
Yeah. When you compare that, you know, laying in bed for, you know, constantly to get something done, I mean, that's a huge win. So, you know, not being able to have full productive day, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Oh, well.
And you mentioned something earlier, and I think it's worth repeating. If you have those good moments, those little wins, you've got to celebrate them. You've got to mark them down. You've got to remember them. It doesn't matter how small it is.
Yeah.
I think that's something that gives people something to be able to look back on, you know, a way of journaling. Absolutely. So to say, when they're having a bad day, they can look back and think, yeah, but I didn't used to be able to do this, or I could only do that for an hour, and now I can do it for two. So
yes,
the small wins are really, really big wins in our book.
They are, and they should be celebrated. Absolutely.
Yes.
And now you are planning to open up a new center, right, to help people, to help people that are dealing with Lyme. I mean, what are some of the therapies that you are bringing in? Because obviously these were the therapies that, you know, impacted you the most, I would assume. Otherwise, you wouldn't bring them in.
Exactly. So I'm going to be doing definitely, you know, vitamin IVs, peptides, stem cells, exosomes, can do all of that. I absolutely love ozone in every shape and form. I am, if you know what EBU is.
We have it.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Well, I'm a trainer for a company that, you know, they sell the equipment, and then I go to the offices and train their staff on how to do that procedure. I absolutely love it. Unfortunately, I'm not a very good candidate for it because I don't have two really good veins. But so I do everything else that I can, you know. So I have $10,000 worth of equipment sitting behind me right now waiting to go into a clinic.
Awesome.
And I can't wait to be able to get and give, you know, high dose ozone treatments to myself and to my partner and to all the patients that we have, you know, waiting. They're all waiting, you know, when are you going to open? When are you going to open? We're ready. I just have to get the logistics worked out here, but people are waiting for it because they know that it helps them. And I've been gone about 3 months, I guess, now from being able to deliver those treatments to people. So they're like, are you coming back? You are coming back, right? Because I want my ozone. I want my ozone too. So yes, I'm coming back.
I love that.
So, the peptides, I mean, which ones are your favorite ones? I mean, I know the ones that I use in my clinic, but I'm curious to see what you use in regards to Lyme.
Well, I haven't used many myself, just because I haven't had access to somebody knowledgeable enough to share that with me. Like the BPC
157. Yeah.
We like that. Thymosin A1. We like that. Cerebellicin. I want to try that. There's so many things I want to try. Do you know there's a peptide to help you be tan? And I'm hearing all my Irish whiteness here that I'm like, I need to try that.
Yeah, the melanotin. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that one works great. That. Yeah, works great for like the tissue repair but for people that are not wanting to go in that direction, then yeah, you can use things like CJC, epimerillin, and also some of the pineal one, epitalin, is great. There's some awesome ones, and one that you probably also want to kind of look into is KPV. It's a peptide that is fantastic in regards to people dealing with mast cell activation and, dealing with mold illness. Yeah. So that becomes a really powerful one. And then, TB4, the TB500, which is more a smaller type of peptides that also help to control inflammation, tissue regeneration. And
fantastic.
So it's a lot of cool, peptides, and Lyme is huge, along with obviously ozone and, the different IVs, phosphatidylcholine, the vitamin C, and hydrochloric acid, hydrogen peroxide, those are amazing ones as well. So that's really cool. That's really cool that you're doing that, and that's such a great resource for people.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. I'm excited to be able to offer that, and I still have a lot to learn on the the peptide side, but I'm so eager to try stuff and be like, hey, let's try this and see what happens. I like to be able to tell people what to expect when they try something that they haven't tried before. So I'm happy to be the guinea pig on that. But I just to be able to offer people something, that will help them. None of it's cheap, but the fact is, they need to get results too. And if you do these things in combination, you will see improvement. And the people that I don't see having improvements are the people who aren't quite sold on the fact that they have to change their lifestyle and they have to change their diet and know they can't have the Twinkies for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and all the holiday candies and foods. I didn't want to give those things up either. I mean, I considered myself like a master baker. Like I can't change my grandmother's recipes for this. but guess what I did for a year? I figured out how to make all of those recipes, gluten-free, grain-free, whatever free I needed to be. I redid the recipes so that I could have those foods, but so that they would help me and not hurt me. Because I had mold too in the house in Virginia, turns out, and that, complicated things. So I understand how important the diet is and being in a clean environment. And, I've got, air filters running. I probably looked at 100 different houses before I bought the house that I'm in just because I was going to be so picky about those things, because all of it matters. It may be incremental in how it affects you, but accumulation wise, everything hitting you from every side adds up and it makes a difference. So you just have to be super prepared to make adjustments in your life and in your home so that you can get well. So you're not just, you know, kind of beating your head against the wall. You can be doing 90% of the things and only getting, you know, 30% of the results. And that little bit of 10% extra effort makes a big difference.
Yes, exactly. Very well said. Very well said.
Yeah. So 10% can either be running for you or against you. So which means that, you know, not doing those 10% actually becomes an additional minus percent. So now you're at 80 rather than 100. Yeah. So, Lori, this has been amazing. How can people reach out to you?
Well, on Facebook, they can reach me at Lori Lime, all one word, Brown. I think that's the same on Instagram. And I think on Telegram. I am in St. Pete, Florida, which is Pinellas County, just south of Tampa Bay. And people can find me here. If they contact me through Facebook, through Messenger, I can get them to me.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure we spell that name out in your title for you.
Awesome.
Wow, it's been so great chatting with you, and you definitely had an emotional journey, like a lot of us do. But I'm glad to see you on this side of it. I'm so excited about you opening your clinic, for what you're doing. We need people like you. And I just love how Lyme changes our lives, but not always for the bad, you know, sometimes for the good. And it brings new opportunities like this into our lives. So thank you so, so much. We really appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys, what you're doing and sharing your knowledge and grouping people together so that they can share their experiences and to let listeners know that they aren't alone, and that there are people that have gotten through this and they can help you and they're willing to help you. Yes. I am certainly willing to help people. I didn't want to go through this by myself. If I can keep somebody from going through it by themselves, I'm here for it.
Yep.
I love it. Thank you so much, Lori. Thank you for being a warrior.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate
All right.
that.
Thank you. Bye.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.